Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Chenjerai Kumanyika. He is an assistant professor of communication studies at Clemson University. Hi, Chenjerai.
How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, German Chancellor Angela Merkel announced that there was a, quote, glimmer of hope in tense negotiations that took place overnight in Minsk, Belarus, over the ongoing Ukraine conflict, with Germany and France taking the lead and with the U.S. notably absent. Ukraine's President Petro Poroshenko met face-to-face with Russian President Vladimir Putin. They spent the night tussling over a conflict that has threatened to destabilize the entire region and launch a new Cold War. The result so far is an announced ceasefire starting on February 15th and a longer-term plan for disarmament. It is not clear if the agreement will hold. The U.S.'s recent announcement to begin heavily arming Ukraine's military appeared to be unpopular among Europe's leadership. Meanwhile, the IMF has just announced a four-year plan fueling billions of dollars of loans to Ukraine to prop up its badly weakened economy. Well, Chenjerai, it appears as though everyone wants this conflict to end, including Russia, except for the U.S. What do you think?
Well, I think we have to really consider how the U.S. is supporting its own interests. It really is problematic. You know, this agreement for a ceasefire is a good thing. But if we go historically and look at what the U.S.'s role has been in the Ukraine, and this also extends to NATO's role and the way that NATO expanded into the Ukraine in violation of agreements that they had made that were made to Gorbachev in the past, we can see that the U.S. has had a role in a way in escalating this whole conflict. So hopefully they can really urge for diplomatic means to resolve this conflict and avoid some type of tragedy. This is what I think is called for here.
And it appears as though the U.S. just simply staying out of negotiations is leading to better outcomes. We'll be following the Ukraine crisis and the outcomes of this gathering in Minsk, Belarus, in the next few days. Then the group Reporters Without Borders has just released its annual World Press Freedom Index today. What it found is a, quote, worldwide deterioration in press freedom over the past year. The report identified Syria, Russia, Israel, and Hong Kong as being among the worst perpetrators alongside non-state actors like ISIS and Boko Haram. The United States fell several points on the index compared to the previous year, primarily because of how journalists were treated during the unrest over police violence in Ferguson, Missouri last year. The U.S. is now number 49 out of 180 countries. Finland retained its top spot for the fifth year in a row for having the freest press. Meanwhile, in Egypt, which ranks very low on the list at 158 out of 180, two imprisoned Al Jazeera journalists have finally been released on bail. Bahar Mohammed and Mohammed Fahmy were convicted of helping the Muslim Brotherhood by spreading, quote, false news. The journalists and their employer maintained they were simply doing their job. Well, Chenjerai, what does this index of press freedom say about the state of journalism in the world today? It doesn't look very good.
It doesn't look very good, but one thing I think that it points to is the crucial role that journalism plays for trying to maintain democracy and human rights. And we actually see how determined governments are both on the local and national level to repress journalists. What we can see is the valuable role that journalists play. The other thing I think that we should pay attention to is the fact that the U.S., it's sad that the U.S. has fallen this far, but I see that actually as a positive thing in the sense that we at least are looking realistically at what's going on in the U.S. and we no longer are functioning in this illusion that the U.S. is this shining city on a hill that doesn't have these problems. We now know that we do. And we have to continue to fight for a free press.
And finally, here in the United States, FBI Director James B. Comey is expected to give a major address today in Georgetown University on the topic of police violence aimed at African Americans. It is apparently the first time an FBI head will publicly tackle an issue concerning race relations in depth. Those who have seen the text of Comey's speech infer that it may address issues of implicit racial bias among police officers, but ultimately claim that law enforcement is sincere in its desire to play a constructive role in society. As if underscoring the importance of addressing the issue, yet another video has come to light of a fatal police shooting, this time of an unarmed Latino man in the state of Washington. 35-year-old Antonio Zambrano Montes was shot by police officers in Pasco as he ran away from them with his hands up in the air. The man's body was handcuffed after he was apparently dead. He had been caught throwing rocks at parked cars and then threw some at the police when confronted. It is possible he was struggling with mental illness. Chenjerai, are you heartened that James Comey is at least acknowledging police violence so publicly?
I am. I think it's a beginning. It's a good start. But you know, this conversation is going to have to go very far, and I hope that people are ready for the conversation to go as far as it needs to go. These incidents keep happening. That video with Antonio Zambrano Montes was just horrible. If you see what happened, it seems almost crystal clear, kind of like the Eric Garner video. But I think that, you know, the conversation is going to have to get past even the idea of police reform. It's going to have to get into deeply held white supremacist views in this country. It's going to have to get into this problem of the resorting to lethal force and understandings about that. It's going to have to get into what we consider reasonable force and what's under our jurisdiction to examine. And so there's really going to have to be some deep conversations that are going to touch a lot of different cultural institutions. And I hope we're ready for those.
And it's unlikely that James Comey will get that in-depth. Chenjerai, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Chenjerai Kumanyika is our daily Newsflash guest expert. He is an assistant professor of communication studies at Clemson University. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.